I feel like the pilot in the cockpit with this gizmo on here. I guess I got used to it. I called up Art yesterday and I said, Art, please pray for me. I got to thinking, well, this, I'm normally up here for a communion talk, right? Well, this is like three communion talks back to back. So we can deal with it, right? The Lord can through us. I scrapped two other sermons on the way, and I ended up with this, and it's just me looking up and saying, Lord Jesus, my eyes are on you, and I want to say what you want said. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, please keep my eyes on you through this entire talk. And I thank you, Lord, your grace is sufficient for us. There's just one mediator between us and the Father, and that's you, Lord Jesus. We take great peace in that. Lord, thank you for your promises. You're coming home. You're coming here to take us home with you. And we look forward to that. In Christ's name, amen. So can you hear me? Is the volume right? All right. Shirley had a little girl named Izzy in her Sunday school class. And I wanted to read you something, a card that I wrote her. Says, her master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I wrote, Izzy, years ago God used you to teach me one of the most profound lessons in life. I could see you walk into Sunday school, obviously having concern and the weight of trouble you experienced on your mind. You back up and say, Izzy grew up in a broken home and encountered difficulties that I never did. It was just a really rough life for her. Then I saw you literally shake it off, become absolutely determined to have a good time. You started enjoying everything and everyone around you to the max. You became a living example of God's favor, his love, and his happiness. He lives in you. Wow. I am so glad our paths crossed. Your friend, Tom. I learn a lot through watching Grace. She's amazing. And I'd like to read you a little story. It says in Matthew 18, at the time when the disciples came to Jesus, they asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. You can just picture this real little kid, you know, not knowing what's going on, and he's just so innocent and full of wonder and life, and he says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How do you find God's way in your life? Can only find it with reading his word like a small child. And that's the theme of our lesson this morning. It takes a lot of courage to live life right. And I'll never forget, I played in a concert with Gary Klein. He is an awesome pianist, far above me in musical talent. And I'd practiced so hard for this concert. I had it memorized, and so it was probably about an hour before the concert. And it had been advertised in the newspaper, and I was feeling the pressure, and I started to freak out. And suddenly I remembered Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on you. So I did it. And I was sitting on the front row waiting for the concert to start. And Jared came up and he sat down beside me and he said, Dad, are you nervous? And I said, not at all. So I have a complete peace. And I rip-roared through the concert. It was a lot of fun. I was sitting, or rather laying, on a stretcher with seven other people in the corridor at the Cleveland Clinic waiting for my heart surgery. And Shirley had prayed with me. She'd held my hand. She'd read Isaiah 40 to me. And I'd trusted, and all of a sudden I started to freak out big time, and I remembered Isaiah 26:3, you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on you. The nurse came by and she asked, how you doing? I said, I'm at peace. And she said, that's really good, because not a lot of people can say that. Next thing I knew, Shirley and Jennifer, my daughter, were standing beside me on the stretcher, laughing, and there's some terrible tube going through my throat, and I could not hardly breathe, and I had made it through the heart surgery. I'll never forget the surgeon that Shirley and I talked to before the surgery, and he told us how God designed the heart and how it worked and everything. And I wrote him a thank you card thanking him for telling us that, because I said it gave us a confidence that you would trust the God who made the heart to guide you through the heart surgery. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I looked up at him this morning and I said, okay, I'm trusting you to help me say what I should say. It's important to follow Jesus in the little events in life. I've talked about two dramatic things that I went through, but learning to trust him in the little things prepares us for a step into eternity. I think it's by God's providence that every day I drive past Fairmount Cemetery and I see the thousands and thousands of gravestones there. I think, you know, the people who were buried there were just like you and me. And they all probably acted like they're going to live here on this earth forever. And such is not the case. I think death is kind of a taboo subject, right? Nobody wants to talk about it. They say, oh, you're young. I'm not young. Jared tells me, Dad, you're old. You're really old. Yeah. So preparing us for the event of stepping into eternity, that's what we're learning now through the little events in life. Is anybody ready to do that? Okay. All right. 1 John 1, verse 3. My pages are all in order. I got it. Well, apparently not. I'm not going to worry about it. I can almost quote it, though. 1 John 3 and verse 1 says how great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. Okay. God's sons and daughters. He shows us every step. Well, the text I have for this morning is Joshua, the first chapter. And this is an incredible story, and I'm reading it because it has so many parallels between what happened there and what's happening right now with us. And you'll see it as we go. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. The territory will extend, I'm going to skip down, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people to inherit a land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not from it turn to the left or the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's powerful. As I talk to people, let me back up. I have a friend named Keith Lewis, amazing framer. He'll take what is a conceptual drawing by an architect with a very complicated roof design, and he'll know how to build it. So Keith would come up to me and say, Tom, where have you been reading in the Word lately? And he was so into that. And we'd have Bible studies on the job site, and he was such a fun, joyful guy. Well, I picked up on that, and I ask people I meet, where have you been reading in the Word lately? And so many times I'm finding they haven't been. And these are my brothers and my sisters. And you know how it says in Psalm 119, your word is a light to my path. Well, if I can't see where I'm going, I'm going to trip over something, right? Early on, I made this commitment to the Lord that I would start and close every day with His Word. And I've kept that faithfully all these years. And sure enough, I'll read something that'll apply right to what I'm going to experience that day. Amazing, isn't it? It's by His providence it happens. And so you see Him saying this. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. It's important to personalize Scripture. I'll picture myself being in this situation where I'm put on the spot and I'm going to be tempted to lie about something or exaggerate or whatever. It's not going to be pretty. I'll just picture myself telling the truth, to hold my hand up and say, I'm the guy. I did it. I forgot to lock the house or whatever, you know? And when I personalize it, then when the moment comes and the pressure's on, I'm not going to trip up and say something I shouldn't. And you can apply that to any part of life. It's so crucial that we program our minds to do exactly what it says. Okay. So Joshua ordered the officials of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan. One problem. The Jordan River was overflowing the banks. They had no bridges. They had no boats. And so how in the world is this going to work out? Okay, now it's down to the trust thing, right? Okay. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites went out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped along the crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests and the Levites carrying it, you are to move out of your positions and follow it. And then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. That's really a key statement. I'll read it again. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. We've never stepped into eternity before. And that appointment's coming for every person here. All right. It says, keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Lord is telling us to set ourselves apart for Him and His work. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people. So they took it and went on ahead of them. Tell the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand near the river. As soon as the priests who carried the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Can you imagine a river like that overflowing its banks and all the water is going to stop and form a wall? Well, it says, so when the people broke across to the Jordan, the priest carrying the ark went ahead of them. The Jordan is a flood at a flood stage during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. So the people crossed over the opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all the Israel passed until the whole nation had completed crossing over the ground. That's amazing, isn't it? I just got to thinking, they were crossing over the River Jordan into their promised land, and we are going to be crossing over the River Jordan, the death, to our promised land in heaven. They had the Ark of the Covenant. We have the Holy Spirit. It says in, let me find this verse, I want to read it. I got a couple too many papers here. Okay. I do have a Bible. I threw out all the pages I didn't think I needed. Okay, Romans 8th chapter. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is how we know where to go. Or daughters, right? For you did not receive a spear. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received a spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. It's like anything we go through in this life is nothing, just nothing, compared to what's so awesome in heaven that's waiting for us. That exciting? It's like just on the other side. Larry and I went to the Boundary Waters, Canadian border, with our friend Gary. And the biggest thing in Gary's life was living for Jesus, wasn't it, Larry? Yeah. He was just so full of fun, and I have so many awesome memories of him. Well, he's on the other side cheering us on right now. I can sense it. It says we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And I'll read that verse a little later. Okay. Since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. As I focus on him, he perfects my faith. It's just the way it works. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I can't imagine going through what Jesus did. I know he had his eyes on his Father. He says he's overwhelmed to the point of death. And he went through it for me and you. Well, the days went past, and Joshua now became a really old guy, older than me probably. And he gathered the people together, and he said, "Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped." Yeah, I got like 5 minutes, right? "Beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So we have a choice. We too are given a choice. I remember at a time, I think it was John 6, where Jesus said something that people didn't like. It says a number of the disciples left. He said, "We're out of here." And Jesus looked over to the 12 and he said, "Are you guys going to leave too?" And these are classic words, the words of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Right? What's going to mean the most is where we spend eternity. Well, thank God that we don't have to be good enough, because he's good enough and he's in us. And his grace is all sufficient. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And we don't need our good works to win God's favor. We only need Jesus, and we have him. I think you're coming to do our closing song. I knew there must be some reason he's walking up here. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you're just so amazing, the way you take us broken with sin and you just stamp canceled on the sin in our lives and free us through the blood of Jesus and make us free. And we love how you guide us and show us how to live. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift you've given us of salvation. In Christ's name, amen.